All right. Are you ready?
I think
you're ready.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
The president announced a Supreme Court nominee last night, 53-year-old Judge Brett Kavanaugh, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in D.C. Kavanaugh outlined his judicial mindset.
My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history and tradition and precedent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Strict constitutionalist.
I lost interest after the first three words of that. So like, okay.
Which is what he hopes everyone does during the confirmation hearings.
And don't
if I talk boring enough, no one will pay any attention.
Don't ask a lot of pesky questions about how I feel about things. I'll just have to see the case law that's in front of me, and this is what it's going to be. The Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, though.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was on CBS this morning.
Yes, he was.
President Trump, with the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh, has fulfilled or is fulfilling two of his campaign promises. First, to undo women's reproductive freedom. Second, to undo ACA. And so I will oppose him with everything I've got.
And one of the things he wants is when Kavanaugh served as President George W. Bush's staff secretary, he has an email trail that stems for several years. And he's saying, well, why not get all those emails, anything he ever touched, speeches, memos, record logs, anything. See what's what.
Well, I mean, wait, is that, I don't, have they ever done that before?
I think they did get Elena Kagan's emails to some extent, but, so there is some precedent for that.
That's the old good for the goose, good for the gander kind of thing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And remember, he was on Ken Starr's team that investigated President Bill Clinton. Is there a paper trail there? This is what Schumer is trying to dig up.
All right. All right. We'll just have to see what happens here. I don't know how I feel about anything anymore. All right. And now this gets good here.
Mm-hmm. Number four.
The president spoke to reporters just before heading off to Europe today to go tick off our allies.
Are you with us? Anyone? Anyone?
And he said he's really looking forward to his meeting with Vladimir Putin. I'll bet he is.
Mm-hmm. So I have NATO. I have the UK, which is in somewhat turmoil. And I have Putin. Frankly, Putin may be the easiest of them all. Who would think? Who would think? But the UK certainly has they have a lot of things going on.
Well, Putin is the easiest meeting for him because all he has to do is go, yes, sir, what do you need now? What can I do for you? It's basically how it's been. I like how he just calls him a competitor, like he's bidding on the same building, on the same property somewhere.
Right, like a fellow developer.
Oh, my God. He also took shots at our allies in NATO.
Well, we do have a lot of allies, but we cannot be taken advantage of. We're being taken advantage of by the European Union. We lost $151 billion last year on trade. And on top of that, we spend at least 70% for NATO. And frankly, it helps them a lot more than it helps us. So we'll see what happens. We have a long, beautiful week.
He uses beautiful a lot. It's either beautiful or disaster.
Putin. Is that a beautiful week?
Well, it will be. Maybe Svetlana will be there. Do you notice that he and Melania, when they were getting on Air Force One, mm-hmm. they, you know, he was holding onto her hand very tightly.
Yeah.
So she couldn't use it to, you know, like slap him away. But then when they got off the plane, they couldn't have been further apart on the stairs. You could have fit an entire other Trump in between the two of them.
It's like, no, go ahead.
No, right. And then they're walking down the same stairs.
Well,
which
she walks in 6-inch heels. It's much harder. You can't walk at his pace.
No, but I don't think you want to be that close to him.
But she was all the way the other side, you know, of him. And I know there's a railing there. And he's got to hold on to the railing, too, because he's fragile. And she's got to hold on to the railing because she's in the heels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole thing. I don't know. Now, here's the head of the European Union, President Tusk, was in Brussels to participate in the NATO summit. And he's telling the President of the United States, hey, stop messing with your allies.
First of all, the America appreciate your allies. After all, you don't have that many. And the Europe spend more on your defense because everyone respects an ally that is well prepared and equipped. Money is important, but genuine solidarity is even more important. Speaking about solidarity, I want to dispel the American president's argument, which says that the US alone protects Europe against our enemies and that the US is almost alone in this struggle.
Yeah. He made the point that what's worse than fighting with your allies, it's fighting without them, and that you need some unity here and get past some of this rhetoric.
Right. Yes. Because these allies have gone
Afghanistan.
On a couple of errands with us that didn't pay off for them.
Yeah. How about it?
Right. And this idea, too. I mean, the president continues to foster the misconception that this is about these countries paying NATO or paying the United States for the protection. This is not a protection racket. This is what NATO requires is a percentage of the GDP of each of those countries to be paid to build up their own military. It's all intramural for every one of these countries. They're not paying NATO. They're not paying the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying themselves to build up their military and then contribute to those exercises that are NATO-based exercises. And I think they got to pay part of the rent on the NATO headquarters in Brussels.
Right. And you think about it, 1,000 NATO troops were lost in fighting for Afghanistan, something determined to be entered right after 9/11, and you know NATO was there
right
as so, one.
Just something to think about. All right. Let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news.
A Chicago cop involved in a controversial fatal shooting has now been cleared in a bar fight.
Violetta?
The Cards are coming to the South Side to play Under the Lights. Expect some fireworks. Sox Cardinals, Tuesday Night Baseball tonight at 7 on WGN Sports.
Top 5 at 5 continues, and we are up to
number 3.
Saturday's anti-violence protest that shut down the Ryan has led to a war of words between the governor and the mayor. Now, the governor claimed that the police and the protesters violated a deal with state police, the local police, I should say, the Chicago police, with state police that would have kept the expressway open. And then the governor tweeted, he went on the Twitter. I don't see him doing this by himself.
Who do you think did it?
I don't. I think he's got people for the tweeting.
He's got Twitter people?
Yeah. I don't think he does it.
How would you know about Twitter people?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. People who post for others on social media.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, the point is, I sometimes post for myself, and then, but I like to have people that I can blame in case I post something that's really bad.
Yeah, not me. You have to talk to my people.
Yeah,
it was an unfortunate mistake.
But
yeah, someone should
be
fired.
It still reflects what you wanted to post.
I'm gonna say no.
Okay,
yeah, I have to always have plausible deniability. I learned that very early on in this business. Anyway, the point is this, that the governor tweeted, I'm disappointed with the mayor. There was an agreement in place, and I'm calling on the mayor to take swift and decisive action to put an end to this kind of chaos. The mayor responded on Twitter, saying it was a peaceful protest. Delete your account.
While he was in China, right? Wasn't he? He wasn't in town.
The governor is not backing down.
Just as no one should walk onto a runway at O'Hare Airport, no one should walk onto an interstate expressway. That tactic was wrong, and it was dangerous.
All right. And so Father Flager, who's behind this whole thing, is asking both of these guys just to sit down and shut up.
I want to make it very clear. This is not about the politics. This is not about election. All the naysayers, the armchair quarterbacks, and the politics and the election gibberish, stop it.
It's only about elections and votes. That's all it is.
Right, that's true. That is That is true.
They're both catering to different people, different crowds.
And Flager wanted to make a point, but the point is lost because that sort of thing isn't going to make people do anything different than they're already doing. The state isn't going to change what they're doing. The city isn't going to change what it's doing because people got on the Dan Ryan and closed it down for an hour. You know, that's it. It's just not. And the mayor. I mean, this is nice, Rom.
Nice one.
I think he actually tweeted that himself.
Yeah.
And enjoyed it.
Delete your account. That does sound like something the mayor would say.
Yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is because it's an election year. So he's just being, you know, super nice. We're not an election year. Like next year.
Right.
He wouldn't be like saying, oh, this is wonderful. Mm-hmm. We should spend more time on the
get
Ryan.
Off the highway.
The fuzzy V-necks come out in election year. The blue V-neck sweater.
Yeah.
That he wears.
Yeah, I mean, we get
now
it.
Now he's like, I'm with you.
Right.
Whoever you are, I'm with you.
And next year he'll say, I'm going to gouge out your eyes and skull blank you.
Right.
Next year he'll say, who are you?
All right, checking in at
number two.
Becca Cuffrin took the remaining six suitors to the Bahamas last night on The Bachelorette.
It was the group date.
To whittle the group down to four men. That she wants to take home next week to her hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Becca from? Does anybody know?
Becca, anyone know?
Oklahoma?
Yeah. Boy. Now, before Becca gave him the rose, Blake became the first guy to tell her that he is in love with her.
You know, I've fallen so much for you. It's been incredible. It's been so much fun, you know? And falling in love, it's fun. It is. It's really fun. But I think staying in love would be even more fun. You know, and I've never had that.
Oh, come on. Throw a pair.
Becca, I am in love with you.
Why is he crying?
Dude, you just went on a date with her with three other guys.
I love you so much, Becca.
My favorite is how the Bachelor Nation fans were losing their minds because they interrupted the programming for the Supreme Court pick.
Yeah, exactly.
They were losing their minds. Can't you just tweet it? Why?
But then there was this super awkward moment last night. As you know, she was courting these six. This is a guy who played a little bit of football. He was on a, you know, he made it to like preseason football with an NFL team, I think, and maybe it was on the practice
arena
squad,
football or something,
like that. Yeah, and he says this to her. Listen to this.
I spent a lot of time working on football Colton, and I sort of forgot who personal Colton was. And I did only have one serious relationship coming into this. And I haven't had that many girlfriends or that many dates because of sports. And because of that, I am a virgin.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is this
big reveal?
Wait a minute. Is this Colton Underwood?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
the
him?
Bird. I'm all with Colton Underwood.
He's ISU?
He's a Redbird. He's part of the team that went to the... He was a great football player at ISU.
God.
All right, I'm all for Colton. Look, guys, he's in love with a girl. Give him a break. He's a Redbird. Fear the bird.
Wait, let me get this straight. He's a football player, but he's a virgin.
Yeah, what's wrong
I
with
don't
that?
Believe her.
Yeah. I don't either.
Listen, babe, I'm a total virgin.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed just hearing this audio. How can people watch this show?
Listen, I'm
sick to my stomach. It's ridiculous.
Let me tell you something about Colton here, though.
Okay.
Then after she was like, really? Like that? Which, I mean...
Like, the female-to-male ratio at ISU is a pretty wonderful thing if you're a male. So, if you're a star football player,
hey,
you're able to hang on to that.
Stick with the line of the story here, which is he claims he's a virgin. She's like, what? And then she goes, I need a minute. And she gets up and she walks off. And I think she wanted to go talk to the producers. Like, are you kidding me? How am I supposed to? What am I supposed to do with him in the fantasy suite? And he says it's not even because of a religious thing.
Well, he's a sweet, innocent guy. Well,
what?
Isn't that make him more
appealing?
I've been
lifting too many weights.
Maybe
what?
Maybe he's shy. You know, he's working on his craft.
Really?
Oh, man. All right. And finally.
Number one.
Okay. So Jimmy Kimmel and Donald Trump are now having a feud. Because Donald Trump claims that Jimmy Kimmel waited for him to arrive at the Kimmel show and met him at the car and opened the car door for him and thanked him and sucked up to him and kissed his keister, right?
Before the election or
when he was on the show. Okay. I think during the election.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Kimmel would meet me before the election. I'm telling you a true story. I don't even think you'd deny it. No talent, but I'd go to a studio to do a shot, you know, to do a thing. He would stand outside on the sidewalk waiting for me. Oh, here he comes, Donald Trump. Oh, he opens my door. But he's waiting for me. Two or three times I did a show before this. All. Now I wouldn't do a show. That guy's terrible. But I do a show, and he's standing out on Hollywood, whatever, Boulevard. And he's standing there, opening up the door, like going great. Oh, hello. I wasn't president. I was like a guy.
Oh, my God.
You're still and, like a guy.
Yeah. And so Kimmel says that's not exactly what happened.
Donald Trump showed up one night outside our show, banging on the backstage door. It was 2007. He had a half finished bucket of chicken under his arm. And he was screaming that he needed to use the bathroom. But unfortunately, there was someone in the bathroom. I believe it was Zach Braff who was in the bathroom. So Donald took a look around. He stuffed the remainder of the chicken in his jacket. He dropped his pants. He did his business in the bucket. That's true. That story is exactly as true as his was.
Oh my
this
God.
Is kind of fun to watch if it weren't kind of an embarrassment.
Well, if it weren't so consequential, this would all have been so much fun to watch.
Yes.
If you were a French citizen, perhaps, and you were watching this. It's like the way we used to watch Italy and Berlusconi and go, oh, look at how ridiculous that is.
Right? And we go, oh, so funny.
That will never happen in America.
Really?
All right, let's lock this thing up. I want to talk about this bachelorette thing on the other side.
Back up.
You know, hold your pants. Hold on one second here.
The top five at five.